On the line, I have Éan O'Riordan from Labour, Senator Éan O'Riordan from Labour. Good morning to you, Éan. How are you keeping?
Hi, Noel. Good.
Okay, just starting off the election, the campaign. Anything different going to be happening this time in any way? I mean, you have to come back, a long climb back up with Labour, for Labour.
Yeah, and I think we've learned from our time in government. I said last 3.5 years, 4 years listening to people, what they want from their politicians, what they want from the Labour Party, and I think we've learned a lot in that period of time. So I've been doing a huge amount of local work over the last while. People might know what I've done with St Anne's or Saving Dunamead Library, or the work I've done in getting a new Garda station confirmed for Dublin 17. Various different campaigns on bus routes and on planning applications that are in around Dublin Bay North. So I think what people want is somebody who's on their side, and also somebody they can trust. And I've tried to regain some of that trust over the last 3.5 years. So a lot of local work is being mentioned to me on the doors, and that makes me feel very positive.
Okay, look, people are cynics out there, to be honest with you, with it, as far as politics is concerned. Especially the way, okay, we went through a very bad time over the past 10 or 12 years, but then we seem to be really getting on now. The country's supposedly doing very well, and still we have homelessness and the health service and all sorts of things that are deteriorating, as it seems to most people. So that's the sort of contradictions that's out there for most people. I think that's where the cynicism comes from.
Yeah, I think politicians need to be honest with people. I see a screaming headline on the front of the Irish Times today saying, you know, both major parties are promising tax cuts and spending increases. And tax cuts and spending increases is what caused the problem in the first place. I know a lot of people would say the crash was caused by the banks, but only about 16% of our debt is bank related. Most of it is due to the fact that we had to borrow money because the gap between what we were spending and what we were taking in was too big. Mm-hmm. So if you are saying to people that we're going to cut taxes and increase spending, well then I think we're making the same mistake again. So it mightn't be popular for the Labour Party to tell people that we're not really thinking about big tax cuts, but if you look at the situation of obviously the cycle of murder that we've seen on the north side, if you think about homelessness, if you think about health, I don't think a tax cut is going to benefit any of those situations. So we're trying to be honest. Yes, we do want to increase spending on health and education and housing, but we're not going to tell people that they're going to have a tax decrease as well, or a substantial tax decrease. I just don't think that's realistic. It might be a very popular opinion, but I think it's a little bit more honest.
Well, I think a lot of people, I think a lot of people would be saying that forget about tax cuts or giving a fiver increase, just get people into houses and off the trolleys. Just talking about yourself, you were talking there, part of your election campaign is going to be on crime and the situation, especially around the Coolock and the north in the Fingal area. Now, it's been part of your drug policy reform, so it's not something new that you're coming up with just for the election. So how have things deteriorated so much? On the surface, things seem to be fine around Fingal, but underneath it all is this insidious drug problem.
Well, I've been saying it for a year, and you're right, Noel, this isn't an election thing for me. It's been something that I've been talking about for quite a while. So unfortunately, at the beginning of the campaign, there was a murder that we all know about. There was a young man, a dismembered body found in the bag in Mofi there. And so what I've been saying for a year is probably getting listened to more now, that I felt that the North Inner City Task Force, the crime task force that was established 4 years ago, we needed that on the north side, because we've had 6 murders in 7 months. And it's not just a Garda response that's needed. I know politicians will always say, more guards, more guards, more guards. Mm-hmm. And there have been more guards, and there is a bigger Garda presence, but that's not the answer. Or it's not the only answer. We have to talk about the reason why a 16, 17-year-old will get involved in this in the first place. And a guard is not going to stop that. Employment will stop that. Education will stop that. Empowerment will stop that. I always say that the statistics that prove, and research that proves, that a 3-year-old from a disadvantaged area versus a 3-year-old from an advantaged area, the 3-year-old from a disadvantaged area has 400 words in their vocabulary. Mm-hmm. The advantaged 3-year-old has 1,200. So the oral language, even at that early stage, is a huge gap. And don't be surprised if 14 years after that the disadvantaged young child makes a choice that the advantaged child won't, because the choices that they have to face are different. and the opportunities that they have to face are different. So I'm not trying to make excuses for anybody who gets sucked into gang crime. Absolutely not. And I think the Special Criminal Court should be utilised to root this stuff out. But I do think if we're only talking about guards and police, we're missing a huge point. We're missing the point hugely, because look at what Preparing for Life and Darndale are doing. Look at what Spear 17 are doing. Mm-hmm. There's huge advances and successes being had every single day. Coolock, Dublin 17 area, this isn't what it's about. But we have to listen to teachers. We can listen to youth workers. We can listen to young people. We can listen to to community people as to what they feel the area needs in order to tackle this issue. The other thing that I've noticed on it, the level of intimidation, the reason that young man ended up in a bag was a message they wanted to send out, that anybody who involves with the guards, anybody who gives information, anybody who's on the other side, this is potentially what could happen to somebody you love.
So this
and
is part
a very, very big ask for a community or a person to take that risk, to give information if they think that's what's going to end up. So it's the security of the state here is at risk. So I think we need to have people who are willing to engage. We should be thankful that they're willing to engage and listen to what they have to say.
So you look upon it as a direct challenge to the government and authority, as well as the people in the area as well.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I was in the room there a few years ago in a particular part of the north side, and a woman said to me that her son, completely unbeknownst to her, had gotten a drug habit and had begun clocking up a drug debt. And a man came to her door with a gun and said, "Your son owes me €5,000. Mm-hmm. And she said to me, "Do I go to the guards or do I go to the credit union?" Now, hand on heart, as a politician, you want to say, go to the guards. But hand on heart, I think a lot of us would be tempted to go to the credit union.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get that £5 if you can.
Well, they see, if we can jump onto something now, as I heard discussed on another station yesterday, was a lot of them that are involved in it and are at the top of the league to an extent are able to still just drive around, no employment, and just be big cars, and that's still going on. And
that's attractiveness. So I think we've always spoken about having a smaller cab, a criminal assets bureau that deals with smaller type assets. So we've gotten after the big car, the big estates, the houses and all the rest of it. We need maybe a smaller cab that can deal with those smaller assets that people have. So an individual has a car, but they can't justify as to where they got the income for. That would be seized. So I know, I think for communities get frustrated that, you know, I'm working very hard, I'm up every morning, I'm struggling to pay my mortgage, I'm struggling to pay my rent, and this guy next door to me seems to be doing nothing. And he seems to have a great lifestyle.
That's part of it, though, Aon, as well as it's the attraction for young people who see it as a career before they get involved in it and see how insidious and how bad it is.
Yeah, and the people talk about deterrence, we should have longer sentences. The biggest deterrent for anybody is that you might end up dead, and it still doesn't seem to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we find, if somebody feels empowered at getting a job, getting good employment, being connected to their community, and these successes are having every single day, let's not pretend that they're not having every single day. There's plenty of young people who made the right choice because of interventions from their family, from their community, from their football club, from youth groups like I mentioned, Spirit 17 and others, who have made those differences, and they are being made every day. Lots of young people have fall through those cracks, but we have to be positive that we can affect change. We can't just say government doesn't care or we need more guards. There are different answers, and we can find solutions. We need to be proud of where we live, where we're from, and we can regain that again. But I just think that, when the first murder happened and the second murder happened, I think that was the time that all of us should have said, right, there's something seriously wrong here. We need to approach this in a different way. We shouldn't really have had to wait until somebody.
What you're talking about now in Northside, the crime task force, are you talking about the likes of what they did in Limerick, for instance?
In Limerick or North Inner City. So, and in the North Inner City, what they did was after the Regency killings, which was exactly almost 4 years ago, it was around the time of the general election, the North Inner City Mulvey Report was put together. Every different agency was in a room. They spoke to everybody, residence groups, teachers, social workers, guards, everybody. And they came up with different solutions for what was needed. So it wasn't just about more guards, it's about community infrastructure, it's about employment prospects, it's about education. I mean, I think there's local school principals would love to sit in the room with department heads and say, look, Dublin 17, we need more teachers. we need more guidance teachers. We need more homeschool liaison teachers. We need, you know, that there's resources here that we could do it. If you were to say, you know, for example, I was visited down there a number of months ago, and I was talking to the school principal, and there's been a shooting just outside the school door. Mm-hmm. That principal should not have to be dealing with the department about potentially losing a teacher or resources or funding. So I think if the state was to recognise, look, there's something seriously wrong with this geographical area, young people are dying, that the schools, the youth groups should not be gasping for funding. There should be a recognition, okay, at this particular moment in time, it's a serious situation in this area and we can resource it so that teachers can worry about teaching and youth groups can worry about the young people and not about funding. Mm-hmm. And not about restructuring and all that kind of thing. And
I think it shows.
I think there's goodwill around. There must be goodwill to get these things done. I was disappointed when I raised it for the last year with Charlie Flanagan and the Shannon. I just thought he'd say yes, and then it'll be up and running now, and we'd be talking to each other and finding solutions. Mm-hmm. And it's really disappointing for me to be saying, "Well, look, he didn't do it," because they did do it. This government did do it in the inner city. I sometimes worry when politicians think, "Well, this idea came from." The opposition or from a different political mm-hmm. party, so we just have to ignore it. I don't think politics should work that way.
Yeah, you just give me a segue into obviously the election coming up over the past few days, so I'm inclined to bring up conversation to get ideas of the way people are thinking. And funny enough, yeah. A lot of people, you might say, have been too idealistic, have been a bit too naive, but you see politicians, they get elected, they work hard, they have, as I say, a cynical sort of caustic view of a lot of them as well, but they do realise that they're intelligent men and women there, and they can't understand, this is the idea I got it anyway from them, that they don't just get together all together, have their little opposition about different things, but for the main things, like, as I said, hospitals, crime, especially what's happening now, and about housing, that they say, look, let's put all the differences aside, all of us, all parties,
yeah,
and let's get it done.
And I think that's when politics actually works better, when people actually put these things aside. I mentioned drugs. I was drug minister. When I was trying to get the injecting centre over the line, it was support from every single political party that made it happen. Nobody decided that they were against it. And, mm-hmm. you know, for example, John O'Brien from Sinn Féin, Pascal Dunhill from Fine Gael, you know, various different politicians from different political backgrounds, obviously Liam Ruan, and you know, were supporting this. So it wasn't a sense of government doing this, so we must be against it. It was like, look, we're all in this because we want to protect and save the lives of very vulnerable heroin users. We can do that. And the drugs debate with decriminalisation or a different approach to drug policy is also like that, because every political party now has changed the way they view drug policy, about maybe somebody with an addiction doesn't belong in the courtroom, and we can all work collaboratively together to find solutions. And I think people actually respond better to that if they say, right, obviously going to have different viewpoints. They're going to come from a workers' rights perspective and a social justice perspective. Other mm-hmm. people are going to come from a different perspective, and that's fair enough, environmental perspective or whatever. But you mentioned the health. We did have a cross-party report on Sláinte Care. You know, I think politics works best when people are working together, and I don't go into an interview saying, well, I just have to criticise this person immediately. Mm-hmm. Or if he says, well, the Labour Party did this, and I said, well, Sinn Féin did that, or Fianna Fáil did that, and again, did the other. If we're looking forward and I say, look, I will work with this person or that person for a collective good, it happens all the time on the local level. No, like, we have a public meeting on a public issue and all the public reps are there saying, yeah, we can work on this together. We can find a solution to this together. We did a petition, the Clongriffin Community Association, about the Garda station. They made the case. They did the research. I got a petition, 1,300 people signed it. And government and the guards have now confirmed that there will be a new Garda station there, just opposite Clare Hall. That kind of thing is where people can say, well, actually, no, something politics can work when we set our sights on something that's positive, that can actually achieve something. So I agree with you. I don't really want to spend this election slagging off Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, or other parties. I think that's easy. I think what's harder sometimes is to say, look, here's an idea I have, which is realistic. And the very first thing I said to you was, like, you know, not talking about tax cuts. Mm-hmm. That isn't very popular, but I think it's more honest. And I think if I go to the door and say, look, if you're expecting a big tax cut from me, it's not going to happen. But we could invest that money in free school books for every child, you know, state childcare. We could try and sort out Bowen Hospital for once and for all. I think maybe people might be saying, well, look, I might not agree with him, but at least he's being straight up with me.
Okay. Well, we'd have to wait and see, I suppose, and it's going to be a quick and heavy campaign over the next couple of weeks. Will you be going around on the doorstep? There seems to be a shortage of politicians going around.
We're out every day. It's because it's February, it's funny, you spend so much time worrying about posters and then they can't be seen after 5 o'clock.
Yes.
It's so dark. So, no, we're out, and obviously, you know, dark evenings, people don't necessarily want to open the door, but, happy to do it, always happy to meet people. I think, though, if you're canvassing for the first time and you haven't knocked on the door in the last number of years, then you're going to find it difficult, but I do it all the time, so it's... I'm used to it.
As I said about Labour, has a hard time getting back up there. Are you optimistic about it?
Yeah, I think we've learned a lot of lessons. I think when it comes to last general election, we've had those arguments, we had that debate, we lost that argument, and there's no point in saying that we didn't. Either the people were wrong or we were wrong, so clearly, you know, there was a lot of things we got wrong. But, every party has had their knockback and come back. Fine Gael had it, Fianna Fáil had it. Sinn Féin had a difficult local election, and we obviously had a last general election. So I think people understand what Labour values are. I think they want somebody who will actually stick to them, and that's why this general election we're not negotiating our core values with another party anymore. We're going to go into the after election with our 5 core values. And
are you going to be more more individualistic, the way it used to be? I mean, it just seemed to merge into other parties.
Everyone was the same. Yeah. It was a national crisis, you see, but the thing is, I think maybe we forgot why people vote Labour. They don't necessarily vote Labour to fix the economy, they vote Labour to protect certain core values. And we thought maybe people would thank us for rescuing the economy, but I think they thank Fine Gael for that. And they expected something different from us. So we're going to go in and say, look, there's 5 things we want to achieve on climate, on children, on jobs, on health and housing, and non-negotiable. So if you want to sign up to those,
okay,
we can talk about that. But if you don't, well, then there's not much point in having the conversation.
Okay.
And every Labour member has a vote as to whether we're going to go up or not. But,
okay, well, good luck over the next couple of weeks. It's been a pleasure talking to you again. It's been a while since I talked to you. Thank you very much, Eoin.
All right.
Thank you. Good luck. Okay. Bye. And that's Senator Eoin O'Riordan from Labour there. And as I said, it's going to be a tough couple of weeks. Okay, if you have any comments on anything, give us a call. We're going to be doing a lot of politics, obviously, over the next couple of weeks. So if you have any questions you'd like to hear us ask our politicians, the locals, I don't know whether you get a chance to ask them around the door, but if you have any idea of questions you'd like to ask them, do give us a call, a text, or an email. 867-1190, text 087-6944-500. You can email northsidetoday@near.ie for any of the programmes. We're on Monday to Friday, and we can ask the questions. I'm sure we're going to have a few on over the next couple of weeks.